This morning, as most of you know, especially if you're friends with Pastor Gene or Mel on Facebook there in Orlando, they are going our national convention for the Foursquare is happening this week. They went down a couple days early with their two youngest to just have some fun and relax. How many are glad that our pastors can just get away and have some time to relax and just enjoy? So this week, as we go throughout our week, I want to just challenge you and ask you, if you would just hold them up in prayer this week, not only them, but the leaders of our movement, the Foursquare movement, that you would be praying for them as they're in our national convention and doing business over the next couple days, that God would just direct and guide them and that what He wants to accomplish would be accomplished this week through them. Amen. How many of you guys will agree with me on that? Amen. So as you heard, this is kind of our last official Sunday here in an official capacity as an associate pastors. And in my last big Sunday here, I wanted to do something I've never done before. And I have no notes this morning. I have no PowerPoint. But I just want to share with you some of my story. And I know a lot of you have known me for a long time. But I just wanted to share with you what has brought us to this point as a couple, as a family, that we're getting ready to step out and do this. Most of you have heard Pastor Gene talk about his first ministry job. It was as a youth pastor at a small church, west side of town, and he was right out of college. Him and Mel had just gotten married, and he took over as a youth pastor at the small church, had about 8 or 9 kids, and in that group of kids, there was the skinny little 7th grader punk kid, and that was me. And that was almost 20 years ago that I've known Pastor Gene and been a part of his ministry in one way or the other. A couple years later, when I got saved, before my freshman year in high school, after I got saved, we had actually moved from that building we were in actually to this building the church had that we were a part of. And we were in this building. I remember coming to Pastor Gene after I got saved and saying, "Man, Gene, I just want to help out. What can I do? What can I do to, you know, what do you need help with?" And at that point, we were doing Wednesday night youth ministry. We had a service going on, and we didn't have a youth room. Basically, what we did is we had that back corner back then. We had a backdrop and a little stage, and we would take chairs from that back section, turn them around, and set up like these little fake walls. And that was our youth room, and that's where we would have our youth services on Wednesday nights. And so he said, "Man, I need help on Wednesday nights setting up chairs. So why don't you just come early on Wednesday nights, get here about 6:15, help me set up chairs, help me move stuff around and get set up." I was like, "Okay, I'm going to do it." So I was there every single Wednesday night. About that time, J.D. Buckridge started coming, and he jumped in there and started helping us. And we were always talking about that, how all these years, that's where we started. We started setting up chairs here on Wednesday nights with Pastor Gene. And through the years, as I continued to help out, you know, I did a lot of different things. I led a pre-service prayer group for a while with our youth. I helped out with praise and worship. Right after I graduated, we moved from this building to a different building that they had bought property and built. And I actually led praise and worship that summer. And it was terrible. And we went from about 50 kids to about 25 that summer. So God really blessed. And then after the summer, I stepped away and just played guitar and somebody else came and sang, and we went right back up to 50. But I've done all sorts of things. After Crystal and I got married, we ended up taking over as high school pastors there at that church. And JD was the junior high pastor, and we were working with Pastor Gene and did that for a while. And Pastor Gene was feeling the call to start Destiny Church and to plant a church. We knew that that's where we needed to be, that we needed to be with him. So we went to him and Mel and talked to them, and they asked us to come along and be youth pastors at Destiny Church. So when Pastor Gene talks about the 7 families that started Destiny Church, it sounds like a mafia thing. Anybody else ever think that when he says that? The 7 families. The 7 families that started Destiny Church in a basement, we were one of those 7 families. And we've been part of this church through the whole time. For the first 5 years, Crystal and I were youth pastors. And I'll tell you, like I told her the entire time, I don't ever want to be a pastor, a big church pastor, as I called it. I was happy being a youth pastor, leading a student ministries, hanging out with them. I felt that's what I was good at. That's what God wanted me to do. And so for the first 5 years, I was all about that. I remember in 2009, We did our first marriage retreat in Rogers. We had done a couple of them a couple years before in Branson. And this was the first year we had done one in Rogers, Arkansas. And we had Jonas with us. He was just a month old, had just been born a month before. It was in May that year. And we had it in Rogers. And so we ended up bringing Jonas with us just because he was little tiny. We didn't want to leave him with anybody. It was a real romantic weekend for us with a newborn. But after that first session Friday night, everybody decided they were going to go to P.F. Chang's that night. And Crystal and I didn't really want to take Jonas with us in this big crowd. So we ended up just going to a steakhouse right there in town, right next to it. And I remember that night kind of began this journey that we're on right now. And I remember talking with Crystal that night. And as we were talking about just life and ministry and the things that God had for us, for the first time in my life, I admitted to myself, not so much to Crystal, but to me, that I didn't see myself being a youth pastor for very much longer. I felt change was coming. I didn't know what that change was. I didn't know what the next step would be, but I just felt like change was going to be happening. And over the next year, God just began to confirm that to me. In 2010, I had the privilege of going on a missions trip. Travis Goad, his daughter Nichelle, it just ended up being the three of us. And we boarded a plane in June to go down to Manaus, Brazil. And we stayed with the missionaries there, Hillary and Aldai, just great friends of ours, and just had an awesome time. We were able to minister in their church and another church right there in the area, and it was just an amazing trip. And though I can't point to any one specific thing that happened on that trip, God just confirmed to me over and over again that change was going to happen. And that God was going to move us in a different direction. And I remember talking with Aldai and with Travis about that during that trip. When we got home on a Saturday. On Tuesday, Pastor Gene calls me and says, "Hey, Matt, I want to go out to lunch with you sometime this week. I just want to talk about some changes that are going to be taking place in the church." And I was like, and he wouldn't tell me what, of course. And we weren't able to go out to eat, get together until later on that week. And so for the next 2 days, like, my mind's just going 90 to nothing. I'm like, what is going on here? What's going to happen? I don't know. And in my mind, I had this whole scenario that Pastor Gene had been asked to go do something else within the Foursquare, step up, take another leadership position. He was going to ask me to take over the church. And I was like, I don't want to take over the church, God. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm not ready for that. That is not what you have called me to do. And over the next couple days, the more God dealt with me, I dealt with me about it, I was finally like, okay, God, if that's what you want to happen, that I'll do it. Well, you know, but it's going to have to, I don't know. But if that's what you want, I'll do it. And so I met with Pastor Gene that Thursday for lunch, and as you all know, thank God, that's not what happened. Pastor Gene just asked us to become associate pastors and to leave our role as student ministry pastors and step into this different role as an associate pastor, and so that's what we did. And I stepped into the weirdest role there is in the church. Let me just tell you that. It takes someone special to be an associate pastor for any extended period of time. But God began to deal with me and change me. And during that time, one of the main things he did is I had to stop looking at the church through what I call youth ministry tinted glasses. That everything as a youth pastor, you're always looking at it through the youth and through the youth ministry. And God made me step back and look at the church as a whole and every ministry and every part and how it works together. And I had always heard, you know, when you ask, hey, what does an associate pastor do? The running joke is, well, anything the senior pastor doesn't want to do. And there is some truth in that. And an associate pastor isn't going to be an associate pastor very long if they don't know what servant leadership is. And over the time that I've been an associate pastor, it's been 3 years now that we've been associate pastors. You know, I joke that I've kind of come full circle with Pastor Gene. I started off setting up chairs on Wednesday nights for youth services. And when people ask me what I do, I say, well, I come in early on Wednesday nights and set up chairs for classes. So I kind of made this full circle here with Pastor Gene. And I do other things. But you know, God's really grown me and shown me a lot of different things in this role as an associate pastor these last 3 years. And it really what he's done, though, is he's made me admit and made me finally tell him that, God, I do want to pastor. That, God, I do believe that you've called me to do that. And for the first year and a half as an associate pastor, God really was dealing with us about planning a church. And the more Crystal and I talked about it, the more we prayed about it together and just dreamed about it, we knew that's what God wanted us to do, was to plant a church. And so then the question was, where? Where are we going to go? And we threw out all different places. We talked about Pittsburgh, Kansas. We like the college town feel. We talked about Springfield. We talked about Kansas City, Lawrence, Kansas, all these different places. And it just wasn't right. And finally, in November, December of 2011, God began to really tell us where we were going. And so we called up Pastor Gene and Mel and said, hey, we want to go out to dinner with you guys and just talk about some stuff. And went and had dinner with them and shared with them that we felt God was calling us to plant a church, and he was wanting us to go back to where our journey kind of began, in Rogers, Arkansas. And Pastor Gene and Mel were so supportive and just said, you know what? We knew this day was going to happen eventually, whether I did or not, they knew it. And they said, we're going to support you and do whatever we can. And so Crystal and I, that spring, we put our house up for sale. We were kind of like laying this fleece out before God. And we said, okay, God, if our house sells this year, we'll move this summer, 2012, summer of 2012. If it doesn't sell before then, we'll wait and we'll try again next year. And so we had our house up for sale and nothing happened on it. I mean, we didn't have very much interest in it at all. It didn't sell. And so in May of 2012, God said, I want you to stay for another year at Destiny Church. And so we took our house off the market. I told Pastor Gene, we'll stay through May of 2013. That's what we feel like God wants us to do. And so we did. And so over the next 6 months, God really began to deal with Crystal and I about what kind of church we were going to be leading and what it was going to look like in a real and practical way. And the biggest thing that God began to put into my heart was that our church was going to be a community. That it wasn't going to be a church that just came together on Sunday mornings and had a good hooray for Jesus service and then went our separate ways. But a community in the truest sense of the word, that we lived life together, that we knew each other, that we cared about each other, and that as a church, man, if there's a need in the church, somebody in the church should meet that need. That's what community is all about. And so we began praying for that. God just birthed that in our church and in our ministry, and God said, I need you to live it out first. And so Christmas of last year, 2012, God began to deal with us about just meeting needs, and we ended up giving away around $300 or at Christmas time, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have three little kids, you're planning on going, we were going to Dallas that year to see my parents for Christmas. It was a lot of money. It was a big step of faith for us, but God took care of us. We made it through. We had presents for our kids. We had a great time with my family, and God took care of us. In January, as we were going through our 21 days of fasting and prayer, and we were having times at the church here on Wednesday nights of worship and prayer, God spoke to me and said, I want you to give your car away. And I didn't have a great car, but it was paid for. It's like, God, my car that we just paid off, you want me to give that one away? The one that gets great gas mileage, a little four-cylinder, five-speed car. And God, I just fixed the AC unit that has been out for like 3 years. And I just put a stereo in it to replace the one that got stolen 2 years ago. And you want me to give that car away? He said, yeah, I want you to give that car away. And I knew who we needed to give it to. And so that night, I talked to Crystal, and we gave our car away. And the most amazing thing happened. God didn't give us a new car. We went out, and I found an 87 Honda Civic. Bought it for $700. And it doesn't have air. It's got a stereo, but it's only got one speaker that works. But God blessed us with that car. And it's a great car. And I don't have a problem driving it. But we knew we had to be obedient to God no matter what. And so as we begin to do that and live that out, God just began to speak to us more and more. And so in February, we put our house back up on the market. Except this time it wasn't a test. We knew we were moving. We were going this summer. And so we put our house up on the market. After about a month and a half, 2 months, we hadn't had one call on it. I mean, no interest in it at all. And we're like, okay, God, what do we do now? We began to talk with Mike and Tanya. They were listing it for us. and said, well, what if we rent it out? What if we say we'll put it up for rent? And they thought that was a good idea. So we advertised it on a Sunday that we would rent this house. The next day, we had a couple come and look at our house. By Thursday, we signed papers for them to rent it, and they were moving in April 1st. And Crystal and I were like, okay, this is getting real now. We got to figure out what we're doing, what's going on here. Luckily, we were able to move in with my in-laws, with Dennis and Joyce. They've got a good-sized house and a basement that we could just stay in. We felt it was important that our girls finish the school year out here at school, and so they were the same school district. We were able to do that without any problems. And so we started to begin to look for housing and stuff. We began to save back money to help us in our move and in our transition. Well, as you know, about that same time, Destiny Church bought property right up here, up the road. And the Sunday that Pastor Gene showed the video from the pastor at Gateway Church, and an awesome story how God just has moved and a good teaching. And Pastor Gene at the end of that service said, I want you guys to go home. I want you to pray and fast and ask God what you're supposed to give. And next Sunday, I want you to come with a first fruit offering and or pledges for what you're going to give over the next 2 years. And we got in the car right after church, and I looked at Crystal. I said, I know what we're supposed to give. I know we're supposed to pray and fast for a week, but I know. And she goes, I know too. It's this much. And I said, yep, that's it. And it was everything we had saved back to move. And so the next Sunday, we had written out our check, and we came and put it in. And knowing that God was going to take care of us. And I thought at that point, I thought, God, I'm depending on you now. And we did it, and we began to still look for houses. You know, it's getting end of April, beginning of May. We're looking for rentals. We knew we weren't going to be able to buy. We had a credit card that we had let just go bad, basically, on us, and had some credit problems. We knew we weren't going to be able to buy, but so we started to look to rent, and we were looking to rent in Fayetteville, Springdale. It's usually cheaper down there. Had all these apartments, duplexes. We were calling. I was calling apartment complexes, middle of the day, middle of the week, nobody answering, and leaving message, nobody calling us back. We'd call real estate agents that had duplexes for rent. Nobody calling us back. I mean, we're getting nothing. And so we decide, I had a Tuesday off, Tuesday, May 7th. We decided we were just going to go drop the girls off at school. We were going to head down there and just go. We had a list of places we were going to go. And we were going to just show up at some of these apartment complexes and just see what we could get figured out. And hopefully, you know, we would just have one and have it done, be ready to move. We wanted to move June 1st is what we felt like God wanted us to do. And so that morning, we get up, and we're kind of slow getting around. I ended up taking the girls to school, dropped them off, came back to the house. About 9 o'clock, we finally pull out and head down towards Rogers. And we don't get a mile down the road, down 249 Highway there, and we get a call from school. And they're saying, hey, we need you to come pick up Allie. She's got head lice. Great. And so there goes our plans for the whole day. So we turn around, we go back, we pick her up, and we go back to the house. And Crystal says, Matt, you need to go ahead and go. Just go ahead and go and see what you can get accomplished. At first, I was like, I don't want to go down there and try to find housing by myself. I want my wife there with me. But I also knew that if we were going to move in June, we needed to get something done pretty quick. So I was finally like, okay, I'll go. And so I dropped them off at the house, and I get in the car, and I head down towards Rogers. And on the way down there, I had one of those conversations with God. You ever had those where you're mad, and you begin to tell God how mad you are? And I'm driving down, and I'm frustrated, and I'm just venting to God and just telling him, man, I don't understand this. This is what we're called to do. We've prayed about this. You know, we've had this confirmed in our spirit and in our life time after time that we're supposed to go to this area and plant a church. And God, why isn't anything working out? Why are we not getting calls back? Why are none of the doors opening? And then I just began to take authority. I got down to about the Arkansas border, and I just began to pray in an authority and just bind the enemy. And I pray, God, today I need your blessing and I need your direction in my life. God said, okay, you're going to get it today. I get down there, and God says, I want you to go to Pea Ridge. I looked at my list of places. I was like, Pea Ridge isn't on my list, God. I don't want to live in Pea Ridge. Have you ever been to Pea Ridge? There's a reason you haven't been to Pea Ridge. There's nothing there. I've been through there once on a way to a golf course out that way. And God said, I want you to go to Pea Ridge, and I want you to go to McDonald's. Like, I don't even know if there is a McDonald's in Pea Ridge. I've never seen a McDonald's. And he said, go to that one intersection that you know, and you'll see it. So I get off, and I go to Pea Ridge. And I stop at that intersection. You turn right to go to the golf course, and off to the left is the Golden Arches. There's a McDonald's there. And God just says, do you trust me? I just want you to go into McDonald's. And at this point, can I be honest with you? What I was thinking was I was going to walk into McDonald's and there was going to be somebody there that either had a house they needed to rent or a job that they were going to offer me. I was like, okay, God, yeah, this is pretty cool. And he said, I need you to go to McDonald's because I have an appointment for you, is what he said. And so that's what I thought it was. I was like, God's going to give me a house or a job or something at McDonald's in Pea Ridge. And so I walk in, I order my coffee, and I go over and I find myself a place to sit, and I'm pull my phone out, and I start just reading on the Bible app on my phone. I was doing my reading for that day. It was Matthew chapter 19, and I'm sitting there, and God says, I want you to pay for the next people that come in, the next family that comes in. I was like, okay. It was like 10:45, 11 o'clock. It wasn't like there's a whole lot of people there, and he said, I want you to pay for the next people that come in. So a couple of cars drive through. They go through the drive-through, though, and a car pulls in, and it's got a young couple with, looks like, two little kids in their car. And God says, that's them. That's who you're supposed to pay for. Well, they pull around the building. I thought they had gone through the drive-through. About that same time, an old pickup truck pulls up, and this old guy's in it, and he's getting out and moving slow. And I was like, is that who I'm supposed to pay for? And right before he gets to the door, this family comes walking in from the other side. God, they had pulled around and just parked on the other side and walked in. So I was like, okay, God. So I pull out my debit card, go and catch a manager. I'm like, I just want to pay for their meal. And, you know, don't say anything. Just bring me your receipt and call it good. So she did, brought me the receipt, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, kind of looking around because there are a couple other people there. I was like, maybe one of these guys, you know, saw that happen and God's going to have them give me a house. No. I'm sitting there, and God says, okay, you can go now. God, I thought you said I had an appointment here today. He said, you did. That was it. Like, no, God, somebody's supposed to give me, have a place to rent or a job or something for me here. He goes, no, you came here for them. That's what you were here for today. That was your appointment. All right, God. So I go out and I sit down in my car and I see my list of places to go. And God says, if you really want my direction, you can just put that away. You're not going to need it today. So I closed it and I was like, okay, God, where am I going to go? And I pull out of the parking lot. He says, I want you to turn right. So I turned right. And all day long, every intersection I came to, every road crossing I came to, I would pray just a simple prayer. God, do you want me to turn right, left, or go straight? And God would tell me, and I would go. And as I was driving down this road, I drove past the golf course. I was on a road that's kind of out in the country. I'd never been on that road before, past the golf course. I didn't know where I was. God just began to speak to me and began to say, Matt, I need you to be obedient. I need you to be obedient to every little thing that I ask you to do. He said, there's been a lot of people that have come into this area to do exactly what you're getting ready to do. But they haven't been obedient to me in these little things, and so I haven't been able to trust them with the bigger things later on. And I need to know that you're going to be obedient now so that I can trust you later on in your ministry. I was like, God, I'll be obedient. You just tell me where to go, what to do, what to say. I'm going to do it. And so I end up driving down this road, and it empties me out on the east side of Rogers. And I end up on 8th Street. In Rogers. And if you're really familiar with the area, you know that that's a Hispanic part of town. And one of the things Crystal and I have prayed about and feel like God has spoken to us is that we're called to reach the Hispanic community in Rogers. I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but for whatever reason, God's laid that on our heart, that we're going to reach these people. And you drive down 8th Street and you can go for a couple miles and not see any English. All the street signs, all the billboards, all of the businesses, they're all in Spanish. And God just begins to speak to me and say, Matt, these are the people I'm calling you to. These are the people that are going to fill your church. These are the people that you're going to reach if you're obedient to me. And I'm crying and blubbering like a baby. I'm like, okay, God, I believe it. And just driving down the road. And I'm driving down the road, and on the left side, there's a building. And on the other side of that building is an empty lot. And God says, there's your church. I was like, we're going to buy that lot, or we're going to build there? And God says, no, just look. And as I drove past that building and looked, right behind there was the Tyson plant, which is one of the major draws for the Hispanic community there. There's a lot of illegal aliens that come to work there at that plant. Within the Hispanic community, there's a growing gang problem in Rogers. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to face it. We feel like that's what we're there for. And God said, I've called you here to reach those people. He said that plant is filled with people who are scared, with people who are lost and hurting, with people that have been overlooked by the church in this area for far too long. And I'm calling you to reach those people. I said, okay, God, I'll do it. Just show me how. Show me what to do. We'll do it. And 8th Street comes across a street called Pleasant Grove, I believe it is what it's called. And I said, okay, God, right, left, or straight? I said, turn right here. I turn right, and right there on Pleasant Grove is this big church. It's called Fellowship Church. It's one of the largest churches, not only in the area, but in the nation. 6,000 to 8,000 people attend there every weekend. And God says, I want you to pull into that church. So I pull into that church, and I drive up by the worship center, and there's a sign on the door that says, all weekday guests must check in at the offices. And the offices were back in another building on the back part of the property. And God says, I want you to go in. Okay, so I drive back there, and I sit down. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot. I'm like, God, what am I doing here, God? What am I going to do? And he said, I want you to go in and see if you can have a place to pray. You want me to walk into this church that I've never been to and ask these people if I can pray somewhere? And he goes, yeah. Tell them that you're planning a church down here. You're driving around. And is there a place you can just go pray for a couple minutes? And I noticed there was a chapel there. So I walk in and I talk to the receptionist, tell her what's going on. I was like, you know, can I pray in the chapel somewhere? She goes, well, the chapel's busy, but hold on just a minute. And she walks off and comes back and says, well, the chapel's busy. I've got another place you can go. And honestly, again, me trying to figure out what God's doing here, I'm thinking, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. I'm going to be in here praying somewhere, and the senior pastor of the church is going to walk by, and he's going to be moved by me seeking after God, and you're going to speak to him and say, I want you to give that young man a house, because pastor of a church that big, he's got to have 3 or 4, right? That's not what happened. But the receptionist takes me back into the office wing, and opens a door. She goes, this is kind of the staff prayer room. You can stay here just as long as you want. Just stay and pray. And so I get in there, and I start praying. And I'm just kind of asking God, okay, God, what in the world am I doing here? And God begins to speak to me. And he brings back to my memory a verse I had read earlier that day at Pea Ridge McDonald's. It was Matthew chapter 19, and Jesus is talking. He says, humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And began to ask me, Matt, do you believe that all things are possible? Like, yeah, God, I believe that. I believe you can do all things. All things are possible. He said, no, Matt, do you believe that all of the things that you've dreamt, all of the visions that you've had for your ministry, all of the things that I've placed in your heart, do you believe all those things are possible? And I'll tell you, when I dream big. I'm not a small dreamer. I've got dreams that are so big it would make Joseph look like a small time thinker. And I dream big when I dream. And God's placed some big dreams in my life. And as I'm sitting there in one of the largest churches in the country, this beautiful campus, God is saying to me, do you believe all these things are possible for you and for what I've called you to do? And I say, God, yes, I believe it. Whatever you want to do through me, do it. God, I believe that all things are possible. And he brought to my memory Proverbs chapter 3. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I said, okay, God, I got this one. I feel good about this. I pray, I seek you, I ask your direction in my life. He said, no, Matt, in all your ways. What have you been trying to do on your own? And it hit me. God, I've been looking for a place to live on my own. I've been looking for a job on my own. And never once have I stopped and prayed, God, where do you want me to live and where do you want me to work? I've been trying to do it all on our own. And God said, tell me what you need to move down here. I said, God, I need a place to live, a place that's going to be big enough for my family, that my family is going to feel safe living there, a place that's going to be big enough we're going to start off doing just home groups in our house, that we can host people at our house. God, I need that, and I need a job that's going to pay well enough that we can afford to live down here. The cost of living is just a little bit higher down there. God, I need a good job down here. And God said, Matt, if I gave you a place to live, if I gave you a house, would you move down here without a job? It's like, okay, God, I work at a sign shop here in town, 30 hours a week, and then the church pays me some. I'm like, God, if you gave me a house, I could quit my job at the sign shop and move down there, and we could make it work on what the church is going to continue to pay me for a little bit. He said, no, Matt. If I gave you a house, would you move down here without a job? Do you believe that I'm your provider? Do you trust me enough? And I was like, okay, I got to say yes to that because I've preached on Yahweh Yireh before. Yahweh, my provider. I was like, I got to say yes to that. Yes, God, I believe it. And he just began to speak to me and I just began to confess, God, I know that All Season Signs is not my provider. I know that Destiny Church is not my provider. God, you are my provider and you are going to provide for me. If you call me and tell me to go and I go, you're going to be the one to provide for me. So I said, God, if you give us a house, I'll move down here tomorrow without a job, whatever you want. And I just began to continued in this prayer time for about 45 minutes, and God just really just encouraged me. And after about 45 minutes, God said, okay, you can go now. Okay. So I get up and I walk out and I thank the receptionist, man, thank you so much. And I go out and sit in my car and I'm like, what am I doing now? Where am I going now, God? Right, left, or straight? And I pull out of this parking lot of this huge church, and I end up, honestly, I don't know where I ended up. I ended up driving on a road I'd never been on, and if I went back today, I probably couldn't drive that same route again. And for those of you who are familiar, again, with the area, there's Pinnacle Hills Mall. It's a big outdoor shopping mall, real pretty area. I ended up coming up on a back road, kind of back behind Pinnacle Hills, and the highway runs here, and I see it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know this was here. I'm driving down this road, and it looks like it dead ends. And before it dead ends, there's a road that goes off to the left, kind of down towards the mall and the main area. And I'm like, okay, God, I need to turn left here, correct? He's like, no, I want you to go straight. I'm like, God, the road ends, you know, in case you didn't notice. I said, no, just go straight. So I drive past my exit, and I look, and there to the right before the road ends, there's a road that just cuts off to the right. Got to turn in there. And I pull into this neighborhood, and it's a secluded area, nothing else there, just about three or four roads right there of this really pretty neighborhood, nice houses. And God begins to speak to me and begins saying, you know what, Matt, if you obey and if you listen and if you reach the people that I've called you to reach, I'm going to start bringing people from this side of town into your ministry that are going to help you finance the vision that I've given you. And they were nice houses, about $200,000, $300,000 houses. I was like, yes, God, I accept that all day long. You know, I'll take those people. And he said, hold on a minute. I want you to keep going. And so I pull out of that neighborhood and right, left, or straight, and I end up over in this other neighborhood that made this first neighborhood look like poor houses. I mean, like $2 to $3 million houses now. And it's this huge neighborhood and beautiful houses and schools. And God says, Matt, if you will reach the people nobody else wants to reach, I'll give you the people that everybody else wants. Okay, God, I'll do it. You just tell me how to do it. And God's just, again, just speaking to me about obedience. And I drive around a little bit more, and I end up down in the historic side of Rogers and kind of their downtown area. And I get out, and I get something to eat. And as I'm walking around after I'm eating through this area, it's this real pretty area, God says, Matt, I've called you to Rogers. I want you to live in Rogers. Like, but God, the housing is a lot cheaper in Fayetteville and Springdale. You know, in case you haven't noticed, we need housing in that price range. God said, do you trust me? Yes, God, I trust you. He said, I want you to go back to that neighborhood by Pinnacle Hills. So I got back in my car and I drive back over there to Pinnacle Hills and drive through this neighborhood down the street. I notice there's three or four houses up for sale. There's a house down at the end of the block that's for sale, and God says, stop right here. I look, and it's a nice house. The grass is overgrown, looks like it's empty, and God said, I'm going to give you this house. God, I can't afford this house. We've got credit problems. And even if I had good enough credit, God, I couldn't afford the house payment on this house. Just by looking at it, I can tell you that. God said, I'm going to give you this house. I want you to call the realtor. And so I pick up my phone and I call the cell phone number that's listed there. Nobody answered. I left a message. Said, call the office number that's listed. So I called the office number and I talked to the receptionist. She goes, yeah, it's a vacant house. I can't really tell you anything else because I'm not licensed, but I'll let you leave a message for a realtor. So I left a message for a realtor, and then I made a big mistake. I pulled my phone up on the online and I looked up the house. It was listed for $240,000, which is just way out of our price range. And God said, I'm going to give you this house. God, I can't afford this house. He said, I'm going to give you this house for $150,000. I was like, that would be amazing, but I still can't afford it. You know, we've got the credit problem, and that's twice as much as what we paid for our house in Carterville. I can't afford twice as much of a house payment right now. God said, no, you're not listening. I'm going to give you this house. The price is going to be $150,000, and it's going to be cash. Like, yeah, you're talking gibberish, God. That doesn't make any sense at all. He said, do you trust me? Yes, God, I trust you. If you want to give me this house, I'd be more than happy to have it. It would be amazing. But you're going to have to do it because we can't do it. He said, okay, you can go home now. Like, God, what am I going to tell Crystal when I get home? I didn't look at one place that I was supposed to look at today. I didn't stop at one apartment complex. Every time I went by one, I was like, okay, God, I need to turn in here, right? This is where you want us you're going to have an apartment for us? And he'd say, no, keep going. And so I hadn't looked at one place I was supposed to look at all day long. And so God said, just go home and tell her what I've told you and what's happened to you today. So I get back home. We have softball games that night. We weren't able to talk until later on that evening. And I sit there and I begin to share with Crystal what had happened to me that day. And I'm crying and she's crying and you know, we're just talking about it. And I showed her the house. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this means, but God said he's going to give us this house. And Crystal shared with me, she said, you know what, Matt, all day long as I was going throughout my day, I just stop and pray, God, just give Matt direction, give him blessing, and help him to find our house today. So we were like, okay, we don't know what to do next, God. The next day, we got a call from a realtor for that house that said, hey, you know, this is so-and-so, I got your message. Do you guys want to come down and look at the house? You want me to set up some other houses like it that we can go look at? I was like, I don't know. And I mumbled something about, oh, we live out of town. I don't know when we'll be back. I'll have to call you back, and hung up the phone. It's like, I don't know what to tell her, you know? And as I was praying about it later on that day, God said, I want you to call her back, set up a time for you to go look at the house next Monday. And he said, I'm going to do something this weekend for you that's going to give you confidence. Okay, God. So I called her back. We set up a time to go look at the house on Monday. That weekend was Mother's Day weekend. Saturday, we were talking with a couple and kind of sharing with them our story of what had happened to us. And God had told me at one point when I was down there on Tuesday, he said, at some point, I'm going to ask you to make somebody's house payment. Like, God, I just gave away everything we had saved up, you know, to the church, and we've saved up a little bit more, but if I make somebody's house payment, that's going to put us at zero. We're not going to have anything. And God said, do you trust me? Okay, God. So Saturday, we're talking to this couple and sharing with them what God's done in our lives this week, and God said, this is them. Go get your checkbook. And so I went and got my checkbook, and I wrote out a check to cover their house payment, and God bless Crystal, I hadn't told her a thing about it, and handed them a check for that amount, and she said, okay, whatever you've got to do, you've got to do it. And so I handed them a check. Sunday morning, we're like, okay, God's going to do something to give us confidence. I don't know what that means, but there's something going to happen. And I'm in service, and I was playing, and we had a good service and a good time, but I didn't have that, moment where it was like God was speaking to me, nothing. And so we go home that afternoon, and we're sitting over at Dennis and Joyce's, relaxing. We had already had lunch. I'm sitting in the recliner, probably snoring at this point, and Crystal's kind of sitting next to me, and I get a phone call, and it's from Pastor Gene, which is odd. He doesn't normally call on Sunday afternoons, especially because we didn't have anything going that night. And I answer the phone. He goes, hey, Matt, how's it going? Good. We're just, you know, relaxing. Yeah, you having a good afternoon? Yeah, we're having a good afternoon. How's Crystal? She's good. She's sitting here beside me, you know, just resting. Oh, okay. Are you guys alone? Like, well, we're out in the living room. He goes, go somewhere. You can put me on speakerphone. I can talk to the both of you. So we go into Dennis's office there at their house and shut the door. Put him on speakerphone. He says, hey, as they were going through the offering this morning, they found a check, and it was made out for you guys, and I waited to call you guys because I wanted to talk to that person to find out if they wanted to give it to you personally or towards your church plant. He said they wanted to give it to you personally, and it's a check for $5,000. Okay, all right, God, that's awesome. And God, it just broke us, and we were just amazed at how God would move. I was like, man, that's a good confidence builder. $5,000, that'll boost your confidence real quick. And so So Monday, we go down there to look at this house, and God had told me, I want you to be honest with this real estate agent. Tell her what I've told you. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sound like a crazy person now. But we get down there and we walk through the house, and she begins to ask us, you know, questions about financing and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I got to be honest with you. We can't afford this house. I said, I was driving through this neighborhood. God told me to stop here and told me he was going to give me this house. And I said, he said he was going to give it to me for $150,000. I feel like that's the offer. But that being said, I can't afford $150,000 either, because he said it was going to be cash. And I need, if I've got $5,000, I need like 29 more people to give me $5,000 in order to be able to afford this. And she looked at me and she goes, yeah, okay. So I'm not going to call you crazy. And she began to open up and share some of her story. I don't have time to get into it. But she goes, you know, $150,000, that wouldn't be unheard of. She began to tell us about the house. She said, this house has been on the market for more than a year. We haven't had one offer on this house. Not one. And she goes, I don't know. It's a nice neighborhood. We can't explain it. We haven't had one offer on this house. And she goes, even if it's a repo, she goes, it's a repo house, even if they still owed like $200,000 on it, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for them to take a $50,000 loss just to get rid of it so it's not sitting here anymore. And she goes, so, you know, that's up to you. So I said, okay, so what's the protocol here? If we offer $150,000 cash, what are they going to do? She goes, well, if they accept, what they're going to do is they're going to say within 24 hours they need to be able to contact your bank and certify funds. I'm like, whoa, okay. That's a, whoo. And so I said, okay, let me walk through the house, which was code for I need to go pray. And so I walk up there and I'm kind of praying. I'm like, okay, God, what do we do? And God just said, I just want you to go home and just pray about it and just watch me work. So I went and talked to the real estate agent again and said, hey, you know, we just want to go home, pray about it a little bit more, and we'll get back in touch with you. So we go home, and as we shared our story over the next couple days with a couple other people, we told them, you know, what was going on. We always said, you know what, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know if he's going to give us this house or not, but he already gave us $5,000, and that's amazing, and we could use that money if we need to get an apartment, have a couple months rent stored up, and God's taking care of us already. So even if he doesn't give us the house, if the whole house thing was just another McDonald's thing where it was for her, the real estate agent, more than it was for us, that's fine. We've got that $5,000. We're good. Later on that week, God said, Matt, I want you to put in your 2 weeks notice on Friday. God, I don't have a job. And I don't want to be the unemployed son-in-law living in my father-in-law's basement come June. But he said, do you trust me? Yep, so I looked, 2 weeks from that Friday would have been May 31st. Again, we felt like we're moving in June. It's like, all right, God, if that's what you want me to do, I call up Crystal. It was a Thursday. I was going to go get lunch and called her on my way. And I said, hey, I feel like God wants me to put in my 2 weeks notice tomorrow. And she said, okay. And I was like, no, it's not okay. You're supposed to talk me out of this at this point. She goes, you got to do what God tells you to do. So I go back to the office, and that afternoon, I'm kind of praying as I'm working. God says, do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Just do it today. So I grab my bosses after work and say, hey, I wanted to tell you I'm going to go ahead and put in my 2 weeks notice. My last day is going to be Friday, May 31st. I feel like that's what I need to do. I said, I was going to wait till tomorrow, but I thought I'd just go ahead and tell you today. And my boss looked at me and she said, it's a good thing you didn't wait till tomorrow. We're not going to be here. We're going to Louisville tonight. And I was like, okay. I think God knew that if I had to wait and think about it all weekend long, I probably would have chickened out. So I put in my 2 weeks notice at work. And on the way home that night, I'm praying. I'm saying, okay, now, God, I'm completely dependent on you. I thought I was before, but now I'm really dependent on you. You've got to do something here. You know, I'm 100% dependent on you. And God said, that's where I want you. So we went home and we pray. We were continuing to pray about it. And all week long, every time I'd pray about it, God just say, just wait. Just wait. Just be still and know that I'm God. And finally, a week ago on Saturday, I think it was, I'm talking with Crystal and I'm frustrated. I'm like, God, I'm sick of waiting. I don't know what you're going to do, but something needs to happen here and needs to happen quick, because we both still felt like we were moving in June. I was like, I don't know what you're going to do, but I need you to do something, and I'm tired of waiting. I began to express to Crystal my frustration. I was like, man, I feel like Moses. I feel like I've opened my big mouth. I've said what you've told me to say. And now I've led my family out here to the banks of the Red Sea. And I'm standing here on the banks of the Red Sea. And I can't go back because I don't have a job and I don't have a house. And I can't go forward because of this. And God, I know in the Bible it says that you parted the Red Sea. You're going to have to do something here. You're going to have to show up because I don't know what else I'm going to do. God said, wait. This week, as we've still been praying, God showed me that we've been using that $5,000 as a backup plan. We're not really dependent on Him. Been holding on that $5,000. We used a little bit of it. We had about $4,500 left. And God said, I didn't give you that money for a backup plan. I gave you that money so you could get out of debt. Okay. So He said, I want you to call up the credit card that you've been putting off all these years and ask them if they'd take a settlement. So I call them, say, hey, would you guys take $4,500, our credit thing? It was about a $10,000 thing. And so would you guys take $4,500 for a settlement? And they said no, and I hung up. It's like, okay, God, that's not what was supposed to happen. So I'm just going to hold on to that money now. And God said, you have a car that you owe on. I want you to sell your car, use the money that you made extra, and put it with the $4,500 and pay off that debt. Call them and ask them if they'll take 50%. So I called and asked them if they'd take 50%, and they said yes. And so as of this Wednesday, we need to get our car sold, but we're going to pay off that debt, and we're going to be debt-free for the first time in our life, with the exception of our house. But now, I'm dependent on God. And that's where we're at. I want you to know I've struggled all week with whether or not I should share this. I've struggled all week long with this because I'm like, God, this story doesn't have an ending yet. I can't stand up here and tell them, man, look what I did. I obeyed, and look what God did for me. I don't know if we're going to get that house. But at this point in my life, I am completely 100% dependent on God. Come Friday, I'm not going to have a job anymore. That's okay. I trust God. As I begin to say that to God, God said, that's why I want you to share it this Sunday. Because your story doesn't have an ending yet. And He said, Matt, it's great for people to get up and say, man, look at what God has done in my life, and they're on the other side of it. But 90% of the people there that morning aren't going to be on that side. They're going to be right where you are. And Matt, you need to share that story, to share with them what you're walking through. He said, I'm going to be calling them to walk through the same thing. And so, this is where we're at. And I want you to know I don't share this story with you as a pat-me-on-the-back thing. I don't share this story with you asking for anything. That's not what I'm here for. I'm sharing this story because I have to be obedient to God. Yesterday, as I was reading in my Bible, I was reading in Mark. I'm going to read a couple scriptures and then we're going to end. But Mark 12:24, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And His answer to them was this. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Because God's called us to be obedient. We're ending this Living in the Zone series today. If you want to live in the zone, you have to live in obedience. Plain and simple. And I know we've been talking about finances through this series, and that's great. It's not just a financial thing. It's an everyday thing. If you want to live in the zone and live a blessed life, you have to live in obedience. And the problem, the reason we don't, what God was telling me, is because we don't know what the scripture says about it, and we don't really know the power of God for when we do it. And so God began to show me scriptures all throughout the Bible. I want to read some of these to you. In Genesis 12:1-2, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Get this, obedience and then blessing. In Leviticus chapter 26, God's speaking to the Israelites through Moses. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Obedience, blessing. Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Obedience, blessing. 2 Chronicles 7:14 to 15, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. And we don't hear this verse 15 very often, but he says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. Obedience, blessing. Isaiah 1:19, if you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. Proverbs 3:9 to 10, Solomon says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Obedience followed by blessing. Jeremiah 7:21 to 23. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take your burnt offerings and your other sacrifices and eat them yourselves. Can I just say, if God was speaking that to us today, he'd say, take all your offerings and shove them. That's what he's saying here. And listen, he goes on, he says, when I led your ancestors out of Egypt, it was not burnt offerings and sacrifices I wanted from them. This is what I told them, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Do everything I say and all will be well. Obedience and then blessing. Now you may say, Matt, that's great, but that's Old Covenant. That's the Old Testament. God doesn't work that way anymore. Look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news, all of those who live in obedience will receive now. Will receive now in this life, not in the life to come, will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. Again, in John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you live according to the way I tell you to live, if you live in obedience to the way I've asked you to live, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now, let me tell you, this is not a name it and claim it. That is not my intention to present that this morning. But when you walk in obedience with God and you're letting God guide you and guide your wants and your desires, they're going to line up with God's wants and desires for your life. So when you're really walking in obedience, you're going to be asking for the things God wants to give you anyways. This isn't name it and claim it. This isn't driving by and saying, ooh, God, you're going to give me that new car. I name it and claim it right now in Jesus' name. It's not what he's saying here. When you walk in obedience, God will bless you. Now you can say, okay, Matt, that's Jesus talking to the disciples. That doesn't really apply to us today. Let's look at what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 to 12. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. May God bless you and help you to accomplish all of the things that he's asked you to do. May he help you live in obedience. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. James 1:25 says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, if you obey what God has commanded us to do, then God will bless you for doing it. As our musicians are coming, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Now you know what the scriptures say. Scriptures very plainly say, if you want to live a blessed life, if you want to live in the zone, you have to obey. You have to live in obedience. And so the scriptures, you know what they say. So if you're not walking in obedience now, it's because you don't know the power of God. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. See, I believe God can't show up in His power if you're not being obedient. I believe God is not going to show up and work in His full might and His power in a situation in which you are not obeying what He's asked you to do already. But when you get to that point, when you say, okay, God, my hands are off of it. God, I trust You. You just tell me whatever it is that You want to accomplish in this situation. God shows up in His power. And His power takes over. And you begin to walk in the zone. You begin to walk in a new blessing and a new anointing in your life that you've never walked in before. I still don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if God's going to give us that house or not. But I had to share this morning because that's what God asked me to do. And I've got to be obedient. And at the point in my life and along this journey that God has brought us on, that come Friday, May 31st, if I leave work without a job and I don't have a place to go live down there in Arkansas, if God says, Matt, I want you to pack up your family and I want you to pack up all of your belongings and I want you to drive down to Rogers, Arkansas, I'm going to say, God, I trust You. You want me to go right, left, or straight here? So my challenge to you this morning is to make that your prayer. Like I said, not just in finances, but in your everyday life. This morning we're going to sing this song and ending, and it just says simply, God, where You go, I go. What You say, I say. And this morning as they're playing the song, you're welcome to come to the front. If God tells you to come to the front, you better come to the front. God tells you to find a place of prayer in your seat or in the back corner. You better listen and obey. And your prayer this morning that I want to challenge you to pray is, God, where do I go from here? Do I go right, left, or straight?
Where You go, I go. What You say, I say. What You pray, I pray. What You pray, I pray. Where You go, I go. What You say, I say. What You pray, I pray. What You pray, I pray.
Where You go, I go. What You say, I say, God. What You pray, I pray. What You pray, I pray. Where You go, I go. What You say, I say, God. What You pray, I pray. What You pray, I pray.
God, in this moment, God, there are people here that just need You. God, they're in the middle of circumstances. And God, they just need Your direction. So God, I speak over every life right now. God, I pray that You would just begin to show them, God, as we begin to come to You and say, God, right, left, or straight. I've never done this before. I've never walked this road before. I have no idea where it goes. But God, ultimately, right, left, or straight. So I pray right now that those who are seeking after Your face and they need Your direction, God, that You would just begin to release that in their life right now. And God, I just begin, just pray provision, God, over every person that needs it in this place, God, and direction. And God, I pray that You would help us. And God, as we sing this part, the world sees, but they will soon forget. But God, we have already seen, and we will not forget. God, the things that You have done in our life, every one of us has a story. So God, the things that You've done in my life, the things that You've done in every life in this building, God, let us tell You today, we will not forget. Though the world's going to see and they'll forget, we will not forget who You are, God, and what You've done. Jesus, we worship You.
Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who You are and what You've done for us. What You've done for us.
Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are, who you are, who you are. Yes, you are my God, you are my God. Hey, yeah, yeah. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, you pray, I pray. Where you go, where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Though the world to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are. Who you are. Who you are. Yeah. You are my. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
One more time, just sing that to him. Where you go.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
Be still.
God is showing me that there are many of you who are walking this path right now. And God's word to you this morning is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and watch me work. And if you have faith and if you trust in me and you are obedient to the things that I call you to do, I'm getting ready to part some Red Seas right now in this moment. I'm getting ready to work miracle after miracle after miracle in your life. But right now you need to be still and know that I am God. You need to know the power of God. So God, as a church, as a body, God, we submit to you. God, and we give up our own agenda. God, we give up our own wants and desires. God, and all of the things that we think we know. God, in you, they amount to nothing. So, God, we come to you and we bow at your feet. God, direct our lives. God, speak, give us direction. And God, I pray that as we walk in obedience, God, that this church, that this body of believers, that this community, that this area would come to know your power in a way it has never known your power before, God. And God, as you move our family on to different things, God, my prayer for this body and for this area is that this church would walk in obedience. God, that we would not be known as a church for our great music or great teaching or pastors or ministries, but that we would be known as a church that walks in complete obedience and submission to you and your will. And God, we don't walk in obedience looking for the blessing. God, if you never do one other thing for me. God, if you never open one other door, if I don't receive any more blessings for the rest of my life, God, what you have given me already is more than I could ever repay. And so, God, I commit myself to walking in obedience to you. God, not for the blessing, but because you've given me so much more than I could ever give you back. So God, use us, direct us, guide us. God, that we would see your power, that we would see your glory, God, in ways we have never seen it before. Sing that one more time.
What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
God, we thank you for your presence.
Jesus.
God, we thank you for your guidance in our lives. God, as we leave here this morning and we go about our lives, God, our prayer is right, left, or straight. God, show me where to go. Show me what to do, what to say. Show me what to pray, God. Give us the strength to be obedient to what you call us to do. And God, let your power be known through us and in us for your glory, God. In your name we pray. Amen. I know we're kind of late, but thank you guys for all being here. I know next week we'll have another service. I just want to say what an honor and a blessing it has been to our family to be a part of this church. Thank you all so much.